You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That's me a date with some of the motocrosses up around the way.
Your source for weekly updates on what's happening in the world of motorcycle racing.
You know how fast you're going?
Industry news, trends, the people involved.
I'm Ricky Carmichael.
This is Kevin Schwant.
This is Josh Teemeth.
This is Kelly Smith.
This is Travis Latrell.
This is Jeremy McGrath.
And now, Pit Pass Radio.
Oh, hello again. This is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. I'm Tony Wink, and with me is Scott Casper.
What's going on, Tony?
Hi. It was since 1997 that we've seen a outdoor national motocross race in Florida. Since 1997, we haven't had one down in the Southeast.
Isn't that weird?
And so the WW Ranch Motocross Park, which is a fantastic facility, hosted its first ever AMA Motocross National, and it went off without a hitch, and it delivered pretty much what we thought it was going to be in the Southeast.
Yep.
Super hot and super humid.
Human.
Yep. So it was kind of cool. Red Bull's KTM's Marvin Musquin went 1-3 on the day to take his first moto and overall win since last year at Unadilla. And it was Yamaha rider Justin Cooper on the Monster Energy Yamalube Star Racing Yamaha who got his first ever AMA National win as well, taking overall with a 2-2 finish. So,
and the GNCC, by the way, took place over the weekend. It was the snowshoe, as you guys have been calling it for years. Caleb Russell, Stuart Baylor, and Ben Kiley, Kelly, 1-2-3, and then Ben Kelly, Craig DeLong, and Liam Draper in the XC2 results.
So that's pretty wild. Ben Kelly's finishing overall in the top three,
right?
Starting a minute behind all the XC1 guys. He's the XC2 points leader, obviously, and reigning champ. He is set to win the XC2 championship, and I got to believe he's factory rider on the XC1,
right onto the
factory KTM racing team. And I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think that I don't want to say that Caleb's I'm going to say Caleb Russell might have a competitor there that can run with him. I know Stu Baylor's doing a great job.
My gosh,
and
yes.
I know that, you know, there's Russell and all them guys are pretty close, Caleb Russell has a knack for these races, and obviously with that many titles and that race wins. But I'm really excited to see what Ben Kelly can do in the XC1 next year.
A lot of our news coming from Racer X Ill. By the way, this portion of our program brought to you by our friends at Fly Racing, Fly Racing Parts. Look for them online at flyracing.com or fly.com. Easy enough to do. Tony, let's go to our first guest.
Yeah, let's do it. I believe he's on, Roland Sands, who's a Roland Sands Design, RSD. He's a hooligan.
He's a what?
A hooligan. And you are a hooligan. You are, by every definition of the word, you fit the class, man.
I've definitely earned the hooligan moniker over the past few years.
Roland, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. We've been missing you, but I'm glad you're on the program. And, you know, when we talk to other people from in and outside the industry that not only know who Roland Sands is, but they give you all kinds of props, I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool, man. I mean, I appreciate it. We work hard, and, dude, I got a badass crew. I wouldn't call them a big crew. I call them a badass crew, and they have an incredible effect on what we do. And, you know, everyone busts their ass to try and get us to the races and build bikes and do products. And, you know, we get our hands in a lot of different things. Sometimes I write checks. I don't know if I can cash, but we usually accomplish it. So, you know, got to have a good team to do that.
We've got just the internet goons. They bag on the hooligan because sometimes it gets more press and more attention than the American Fly Track, you know, the Jared Mees and those guys. What do you say to that? I mean, you guys are having a heck of a good time, and it's making racing an awful lot of fun to watch.
You know, I mean, I have a massive amount of respect for anybody who gets on a racetrack, and number one. So I think it's very short-sighted for anybody to talk. I can't cuss on this show, so I'm trying not to.
Correct, you cannot. My mom listens, and we're on radio, so be careful, please.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, I mean, people talking crap about stuff is just like, for me, if people are talking, it's a good thing. You know, any press is good press in a lot of ways. And so the hooligan riders out there ripping it up and getting flack for getting press is like, that's just, it's kind of dumb, man. I mean, you got to look at it and say it's motorcycle racing.
Right.
And anytime we're talking about motorcycle racing and we're getting people on racetrack and we're getting new people on racetrack, that's a positive thing for the entire sport. And any other thought process is short-sighted. So, you know, I just got done with a conversation with a group of guys, and we were talking about how many new guys are getting on motorcycles who are building race bikes, who are making this very short jump from being interested in bikes to actually building a bike and racing a bike. That's not happening in AFT. That's happening in hooligan racing. And that's how we build the entire community, you know?
I think what's really important in professional racing, and I'm not picking on AFT, I just in general, I think what's overlooked is the importance of amateur racing, and because if you're an amateur racer, chances are you're watching the professional level and you're interested in it. And
yeah.
I think it's different than say basketball. You know, there's a ton of people that watch the NCAA or the NBA or whatever it is, and but they've never played basketball. Maybe they did a little in high school, maybe they didn't, but they all have a team or whatever. It's completely different with racing. I think a lot of racers are people that are doing it. Whether they're racing or not, they've thrown their leg over a motorbike and they ride.
I think you're right.
They're riders and they're consumers and they're buyers, and which is different than the stick and ball sports in those regards. So I think at a professional level, I think a lot of times the organizations kind of lose sight of the importance of that. And I realize they can't do it all, but you know, revolving amateur races and amateur events around the professional level, so a guy can bring his dirt bike or bring his flat track bike or whatever, and be able to ride on the same track or be able to ride close by, and then go watch the pro show or watch the pros.
In other words, have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, be able to participate at some level beyond just drinking a beer and eating a hot dog and watching guys go around real fast.
Definitely the secret of hooligan racing, and that's kind of been it from the beginning. You know, us doing Super Prestigio way back in 2015, the Super Prestigio of the Americans, it was getting these guys who had never really had an attachment to pro flat track on the same track as a lot of guys who they really respected as racers. You know, and in Super Hooligan, granted, we have a bit of a betting process now because things have gotten a bit more serious, but, you know, these guys are racing with Joe Kopp, and they've raced, we've had, you know, Travis Pastrana on the track. We've had, you know, and now we've had Ronnie Mack on the track. And we've had a number of pros out riding with us, Sammy Halbert, you know, guys, you know, who have a lot of experience with pro flat tracks. And I think it just adds to the interest of the sport when you start mixing it up, you know, and these guys start to get faster and they start to actually be competitive and raise the level that they're able to ride. I mean, it's pretty interesting to watch.
How long do you think hooligan's going to be around? Do you think it's something that we will see in 10 years? Do you think it'll evolve into something different?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't slowed down at all yet, you know, and it's been 5 years since we've been doing it. And I kind of expected it to slow down just because things like this, you know, like, is it sad? Is it this and that? But I mean, last week at the X Games qualifier, they had 120 some hooligans out there to try and qualify for the X Games. You know, and I mean, Moto Beach, we have 50 plus riders, hooligan riders, on the beach to qualify for racing, and it's guys are building bikes, and when they start putting that sweat equity in there, and they're building a lot of times, they're building the bikes themselves. And they're coming out and racing with us. They're kind of invested in it. So it means they're going to ride more, you know, and it hasn't slowed down much. I mean, I've seen guys rotate out. I've seen guys who used to race with us who aren't racing anymore. But they're replaced by two guys.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, I think it was, the results, you know, that they post on the board. Somebody took a picture of it, and they're like, hey, I got fifth in my qualifier or whatever. And I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, what am I looking at? That's like a full event for some amateur events. That's bigger than some flatjack races with all their classes put together, and it was just for one class.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had the day after X, we threw our Super Hooligan race, and we had, I want to say, 60 hooligans out there, something like that. And what was crazy was how many amateurs we had. So we split it up into Super Hooligan. Then we have the Progressive Super Hooligan Championship sponsored by Indian, and then we have the JMP Cycles Amateur Hooligans because we wanted to give the amateurs a place to ride. And we had just as many amateurs as we had, you know, hooligan pros, I guess you'd call them now. That was a trip.
Wow. What else are you doing besides hooligan racing?
Oh, we're still building motorcycle parts and building custom bikes. You know, we just finished up a Ducati Superleggera, the magnesium bike, like a 2014 Superleggera super bike. Building Paris Dakar, BMW, we're building quite a few flat track racers. Just a lot of different projects that we're doing, an MV Agusta, all kinds of stuff, man. Lots of BMW projects, stuff with Indian, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Roland, last week we had Frank Fritz on from American Pickers and from Sublime with Rome. We had Rome Ramirez on. We're talking a little bit about, you know, the top 10, top 11 bikes that really changed motorcycling as we know it. Back then, sure, but even today we look back and say, well, those are the top 10 or top 11 bikes. What's your number one bike if you look back, okay, at your history, but also, you know, an opportunity for you to look at what you've done in our sport? What would that be? What's that bike, or what are the bikes that you look at and say, that's it?
You mean in reference to, like, production bikes?
Production, yeah, for sure, production, because that's where we get on as a consumer. But even beyond that, you know, what would you say is the production bike that you look at and go, that's the one?
I mean, I kind of always... Because I'm a road racer, I go back to road racing. So, you know, I definitely look at the Suzuki, probably the Slingshot, you know?
Oh, wow.
1984, I think. I mean, I go back to there with road racing and think about that bike.
That was actually one of them that everybody picked last week.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big one for me. You know, it's so hard these days because I think every genre has, like, such different bikes. And I'm a pretty multi-genre guy.
VMAX?
What's that?
The VMAX?
Yeah, I mean, power cruisers. The VMAX was definitely an interesting bike.
Nobody ever brought that up, but I got to thinking about it after. I'm like, that thing was cool.
Yeah, the original VMAX? I mean, and you had to ride it. You had to ride it to understand it.
Yeah.
Well, no, that begs the question, what do you mean when you say you got to ride it to understand?
It's just an old muscle bike that, like, these days it's not that fast, but back then it was pretty.
So it had a lot of throttle.
Yeah,
right?
It was good.
Okay, all right.
It was a crazy power cruiser. I mean, you got on this thing and it was like the first cruiser I ever rode that would wheelie and spin the tire at the same time.
Tony can wheelie anything. If it has one horsepower, Tony can wheel it. We're talking with Roland Sands. Tony, what's the longest you've ever wheelied anything?
I don't know. I know I've wheelied dirt bikes for over a mile, but probably.
Wow.
Probably, yeah, yeah.
He's ruined more engines because of that, by the way.
Probably, like, I did a really long wheelie on a sport bike that ended kind of, I didn't crash, but it was pretty scary. I had, like, some kind of a crosswind or whatever, and it was, like, full tank slapper when I came down. But that was probably longer than a mile. I mean, it was up and down a hill and around. I mean, it was really long. And it was, you know, the dirt bike thing, a mile on a dirt bike is a long ways.
Yeah.
But I did a mile. I did a wheelie around the Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky on the rear wheel, dude.
Wow.
I slowed. And the way you do that is you go past the balance point to where you can downshift and slow the bike down past the balance point. And then when you get around the corner, you pick it back up. And okay. I had to do that twice. And it was a lot of practicing to do that. And I was in a stunt show when I did it, Roland.
What was the name of it? Was it Toyota Stunt Show?
It was the Toyota Hollywood Stunt Show, and it was super cheesy.
What made it Hollywood, by the way?
I don't know. It was a spinoff of Joey Chitwood. Joey owned it, I think. The Joey Chitwood family owned it or something. And
yeah.
I don't remember. I was 19 when I did it.
You were a paid
get
off.
It was pretty cheese bag, but it was a good paying gig, and I got paid to ride my dirt bike, and it was a lot better than going racing, because racing wasn't paying, you know.
Roland, what's your favorite? You know, if you had one memory right now,
what are we doing down memory lane here with Roland?
Well, we could, but okay. What's your favorite?
I mean, a single motorcycle memory.
Yeah,
man. I mean, pretty tough to beat winning an AMA championship,
right? You know?
When you're a kid, I mean, it means so much to you. Something you worked for so long and looked up to so many people who had AMA championships. And when I was able to do that, it was a pretty big moment.
Who did you look up to?
I mean, Kenny Roberts and Bubba and, Rick Johnson, Jeff Ward,
Wardy, yeah.
Kevin Schwantz, a lot of some drag race guys, you know. I mean, a lot of that stuff, I mean, it was culminated in winning a championship, but then I had my kids and I realized, like, that was all pretty mellow compared to having kids.
You ever been invited down to Baja?
I've been down to Baja quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh, you do? You go down there? Okay.
Well, Tony, yeah. I mean,
it's a good time, right?
Last year you won it, Tony. I mean, you
I didn't win it last year. We won the Pro 30 class in 2017.
I'm sorry.
So it's been a minute, years, and it was the Pro 30 class.
But you still won it.
Yeah, we won a class. Yeah, it was fun.
Take it, man. If you survive Baja, just in general,
I'm racing the I'll be racing the 1000 this fall on a team, and then
for real. I didn't know this.
My intention is to Ironman the 1000 in 2020.
Meaning? What does that mean, Ironman?
Pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to ride about myself.
Oh, wow. Okay. So thank you very much. This portion of our program brought to you by a fireworks company in Winterset, Iowa. And you can get great prices, great product in Winterset. You don't want to go anywhere else. Don't go south of the border. Just settle yourself at the home and the birthplace of John Wayne.
I also sell fireworks, Roland.
Yeah.
I love fireworks.
Oh, no kidding, dude.
It's so fun. Oh, my God.
If we were neighbors, we would be friends because
getting a lot of
why trouble. Can't we just be friends without being neighbors?
We would be pals that hang out and such.
Roland, where's your home? What state and city?
I live in Long Beach, California.
Okay.
Yeah, and I almost blew my hand off with a firework one time.
If Tony brings out a truck full of fireworks, are you okay with that?
Sure, 100%. They're completely illegal, but, you know, hey.
They're not unless not if you don't think about it too much.
But yeah, the best part is the fact that they are illegal. That's the best part. So, Roland, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time. Give them the website so they can find out more about you online.
Yeah, go to rolandsands.com, rolandsands.com. You can check out what's coming up for Super Hooligan and some of our larger events. We've got the MotoBeast Classic City Blitz coming up at the end of October, right before Halloween, and we have a huge band lineup, Social Distortion and Iggy Pop, to kick it off.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's cool.
Super Hooligan Racing on the Beach, so check it out. It's going to be wild. And, four more rounds of Super Hooligan Racing, and we're headed to Sturgis, South Dakota next.
I didn't realize Iggy was still living.
He's alive and well, man. He's like Mick Jagger.
Yes, like exactly, right?
72, and he just played a concert, and the guy killed it.
I know.
It's awesome.
Hey, dude. Hey, you know, we're going to do our best to promote you and everything you got going on. As always, one of our heroes in our business is Roland Sands. Roland, thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Quick time out. Back after this. Stay tuned.
Kevin Sparks.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.